So let's go into prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and your kindness. Father, I thank you for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Lord, I thank you for the children of the living God. Lord, I thank you that you have made us a family, Lord. And that means so much as we go into the holidays, we go into this Christmas season. Lord God, we declare that Jesus is the reason for the season, Lord. And we pray that that reason would reverberate through the earth once again, Lord God. Even though they try to shadow you and cover you up, Lord, you keep shining through. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you cannot be shadowed. You cannot be changed. You cannot be dimmed in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God. And we praise you at this Christmas season, this holy season. And Lord, as we look to the time in which you came and changed everything. So, Lord, we praise you and we magnify your name. And again, we thank you for being our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Several announcements. Again, we will be finishing up the Captain of the Host of the Lord in January. This is our last class until January 7th. And for those of you that may be visiting other Sunday school classes, there will be no Sunday school on Christmas Eve, which is Sunday, and on New Year's Eve, which is also Sunday, just so you know that. But I encourage you to visit the other classes the other couple of weeks. Just so you know, in February, we'll be starting the War Room. Yay, looking really forward to that. I've already started getting our lessons together, and oh my God, I was telling you guys I could just kind of copy this for you, but I encourage you, get your own book, okay? You want to get your own book because you're going to be wanting to write some notes in this book, and they have some really powerful and poignant questions that some of them we're going to go over, and some of them you're going to have to go over on your own. So if you can get your own book, get your own book. I know you can get this off Amazon. And then after the War Room, we're going to go into the companion book, The Battle Plan of Prayer. Again, also we can get this off of Amazon. And I'm telling you guys, if you haven't been in warfare this year, I don't know what you guys have been through, but I've been through some stuff this year. It's been an unusual year, and I believe that as we go into 2018, 8 is a number of new beginnings. You know, it's like going into the promised land, and I think it's just so amazing, and I know this is God, that we are studying the children of Israel going into the promised land as we transition from 2017 to 2018. I just believe that's the Lord. Because that's what he's been ministering to my heart, is that we are going to go to a new level in 2018. Also, our Christmas dinner is today. So, you know, please join me at my house. Get a flyer if you need to. And we're going to have our Christmas dinner. And Rose and Sam are going to be in charge of the white elephant gifts. Okay. So we're looking forward to that. So bring a gift to share. If you don't have anything to share, please come anyways. We just love to have you, just to have the fellowship. So come anyways, and we look forward to that. So as we go into our lesson, we are on the last lesson of our book, Living and Praying in Jesus' Name, the book by Jack Hayford and Dick Eastman that we've been in for 3.5 years now. And we are on the last lesson, lesson 34. Call the captain, Jesus as the captain of the host of the Lord. And as we reviewed last week, the introduction, the theme of this lesson is victory, guys. We are going for victory, okay? We're not going for mediocrity. We're not going to halfway making it. We are going for victory as we go into 2018. We have battled. We have fought in 2017. 2018, we're taking the land, okay? We're possessing and we're taking the land. And as we talked about last week, the things that happened with the children of Israel as they were about to take Jericho. Jericho was a powerful, powerful city. But the kings that lived in this new land, they had heard about the children of Israel. And they knew that they were coming. They knew that they had a powerful God behind them. So the first thing that Joshua was doing as he was going into that new land is that they had to stop and they had to park. And they had to really look at the recommitment. Last time we talked about recommitting. You know, that it is a season in which you need to recommit yourself to Christ. You need to take inventory of yourself before the Lord and find out, Lord, what do I need to do? How do I go up closer? How do I go up higher? And that's what Joshua did. He had all of the men in the camp be circumcised because they did not do circumcision in the wilderness. And all the men that had been previously circumcised had died off. And now the new men that were there, the younger men, had to be circumcised because it was a sign of a covenant, a promise between them and God that they would serve the Lord their God. And there was a time after the circumcision where they had to stop and let the men heal. And we talked about even that has implications, because sometimes you need to sit and park and let yourself heal before God. You know, all the stuff that you've dealt with, all the pain, all the hurt, sometimes you just have to park before God. Sometimes I have to park before God and just say, Lord, heal me, because I can't heal myself. So there's a season where you can just park and just heal as you rededicate yourself and you deal with all this junk that you've been carrying, the weights that you carry. Forgive people. Let it go. You know, move on from where you are and let it go. You know, move on from the losses. Yes, they were painful and they were hurtful, but God calls us to move into the land anyways. You know, all those people that died in the wilderness, but yet they had to move on, and God was calling them then. So calling them to a new land. So again, the theme of the lesson is victory. And before we can even think about victory and God having our back, is that we have to do inventory before Him. So it's okay. Let's sit and park as we take these next few weeks off. I want you guys really take some inventory this holiday season. Just sit and just kind of, Lord, show me what I need to do. Lord, what is the next step for me? What is the next level? Because God is always working on us, okay? He said the work He's begun in you, He continues to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So don't think you've arrived. None of us have arrived. He's still working on this girl, and I know He's still working on all of us. So let Him work on you. Do not be a stagnant Christian. Do not be still. You know, we talked about this in previous lessons. If you're going to be stagnant, what happens to stagnant water? Stuff starts growing up in it, doesn't it? And it starts to stink after a while because stuff is growing up in it. That's what happens to our lives when we won't let the Lord move us on, when we won't let Him continue the cleansing that He is doing in our lives. So today we are going into knowing this name, the captain of the host of the Lord. And hopefully everybody has a handout, a lesson. You don't have one? Okay, Henry, I'm sorry. I'm always sending you to the printer. I thought we had, I just made a few copies, but who else needs one? Is everybody? Okay, we've got 1, 2, 3. Okay, I thought 1, 2, 3, 4. I think we need about 4 or 5 of them again. Just made 5. So let's get another 5. Thank you. Our key verse into knowing this name, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the best of the land. And that's Isaiah 1:15. And boy, you can take that to the bank, okay? The word of God, you can always take to the bank because it is true, it is unchangeable, it is unmutable, and you can know that if the Lord is saying, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the best of the land. So the first point in the lesson says, in knowing this name, the captain of the host of the Lord, you must know that His name is victory. Okay? This name, the captain of the host of the Lord, is victory. Okay? Not coming along with victory, not beside victory, but His name. We sing it. We sing that beautiful song. His name is victory. If He is with you, then He is more than the world against you. Do you know that? And I know that many of you have fought some battles. And crazy stuff has happened this year. I don't know about you all, but I've had crazy stuff happening. Like, oh my goodness. I mean, from all sides. You know, but He has been more than the world against me. As the scripture has said, if God is for us, who can be successful against us? And that's Romans 8:31. When you have opened your heart before the best, to the best of your ability, and turned your heart toward God, He will have your back and He will defeat your enemies. I mean, the enemy can get some jabs in there, but I'm telling you, he is not going to have the victory. He may get a jab or two, but fear not, because the Lord will come and He will take care of you. It's not that you have to be perfect for God to come to your aid. It's just that your heart's turned toward Him. That, Lord, I'm repenting. You know, I know I'm not perfect, but Lord, I'm willing to work on it. And that's all it takes for the Savior to come. Okay, I got this. I got this now. I just need your heart to be toward me. And once your heart is toward me, then I can come in and I can move by my spirit in your life. So two words jump out of this verse from Isaiah, willing and obedient, as the conditions to receive the blessings of God. God does not bless on our terms, but on His. His terms have meaning and purpose for us that are always for our good. Do you get that? His way has meaning and purpose that is always for our good. His terms carry with it victory, willingness, and obedience. So we're going to park here for a while and talk about willingness and obedience. So after you have cleansed yourself before Him comes the willingness and obedience toward your victory. So last week we talked about parking, repenting, exposing yourself before the Lord, and now comes the work of knowing this name, of being willing and obedient. We can see, next point says, we can see this verse lived out in the story of the children of Israel versus the powerful and fortified city of Jericho in Joshua 6. The instructions given to the leader Joshua were like none other they had heard before concerning winning a battle. The instructions were unusual and outside of human military understanding to win a battle. And so we're going to talk about that. Why was that the order so unusual? You guys know the story. They were told to walk around the city in silence, you know, seven times, you know, and you know that for 7 days they're going to walk around the city, and then on the seventh day they're going to walk around seven times and then shout. What is that? You know, what kind of military operation does that? So it was very unusual. It didn't make sense to their human mind, and that is the first lesson here. Is that the Holy Spirit will give you instructions that go against your understanding, and it will go against your flesh, and it will go against your emotions. Because the Holy Spirit is all about stretching your faith every time. You've got to have faith. You've got to believe what you don't see. You've got to believe it just because God said so. So the first part of this is no understanding that the Holy Spirit will stretch your faith on purpose. God will tell you stuff that doesn't make sense to your flesh and your emotions on purpose so He can stretch your faith. So the next point in your lesson says the first and most important component of these instructions is that they were given by the Lord, the captain of the host of the Lord. Okay, so the first thing you've got to know that these instructions came from God. Okay. Because sometimes, you know, so many things can be going on. So you have to know the instructions come from God. And let me say this and make this very clear. God is never going to tell you anything that goes against His word. Okay? So if you're hearing something in your head or somebody is telling you something that goes against the word of God, it is not God. I don't care how spiritual they come off. I don't care how much they, you know, walk around with a King James. I've seen people look spiritual. But when they start to sell you stuff that's not in the Word of God, don't you believe it. Don't you go for it. That's why you've got to know the Word and you've got to know your Bible. And your faith should not kick in until you know the will of God. And that's why prayer is a prerequisite to knowing what God would have you to do. And He has stuff for all of us to do. You know, God has stuff for all of us to do. So get your prayer life going. I can't emphasize that enough. We're going to go into battle. As I said, I can't wait to get into that war room so we can talk about prayer. I don't know, those of you that have been in the class for like the last 5-6 years, you know, that's all we've been talking about. We're going from book to book to book. All of them are talking about prayer. Quiet talks on prayer is what we were doing before this, and we just talk about prayer. So we just continue in that realm of talking about prayer as a prerequisite to victory. Victory is certain and already won in the spirit realm when the instructions have been issued by the Lord. That's why it's important that you cultivate a relationship with God and His Holy Spirit so you're able to discern between Him and your emotions. You have to be able to discern between the Holy Spirit, and if your emotions are telling you to do something that's not in the Word of God, then it's your emotions. It's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I tell you, 99.9% of the time, He's going to tell you to do the stuff that's opposite of your emotions. You know? Love your enemies. What? I mean, please don't ask me to love that one, okay? I can love Susie, but please don't ask me to love Sally. And Sally will be the very one God will have you to love. Go buy her some coffee. Yep. No, God.
Only got enough for one cup, and I need it today.
He'll tell you to do stuff like that. But if you're willing and if you're obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. See, God will test you. You know, God doesn't tempt you, but God does test you. And to see if you'll be obedient, even in small, tiny things. Can you buy somebody that you don't like a cup of coffee? Can you let somebody in front of you when you're driving? Some of y'all just mean when you're driving. You just won't even live for Jesus when you're driving. Won't let people in. No, you should have been going faster. I'm telling you, I have an announcement to make. Jesus sees you when you're driving, okay? You know? We sing that song about Santa Claus. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows you in your way. Jesus sees you when you're driving. So I'm telling you, it's just this thing that Jesus will start dealing with you on small levels first. And then it'll get bigger and bigger, and you'll be ready for the major changes, the major things that he will ask you to do. So really, we got to get these emotions in check. The next point says, note also that the purpose of the captain of the host of the Lord is to do the will of the Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The thought here is this: I am here to do what the Father desires and not what any man has determined by his own limited reasoning to be the best in this situation. And that's from your book, 181. I'm telling you, boy, what a powerful statement. You've got to get that. Remember, the captain of the host of the Lord said to Joshua, when Joshua asked him, are you here for us or for our enemy? And the captain of the host of the Lord said, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. Oh, man, that is powerful. I'm not here for none of y'all. I'm here to carry out the will of God. So that's another thing. See, with our obedience, one of our issues is that we think God is here to carry out our agenda. Because we assume our agenda is the same as God's agenda. And that's not necessarily correct. It may not be the same as God's agenda. God may not want to move Susie to another department. God may not want your neighbor to move. And we think God is here to carry out our agenda. Oh, but we got to get this, folks. We got to get this. This comment in the Word of God is so poignant for us to get as believers. He says, I'm not here for either one of you. I'm here to carry out the purposes of God. So to walk in obedience, you have to concede to the will of God. That's some of our first issues, is conceding to the will of God. Get our will out of the way so we can concede to the will of God. As we have this critical understanding, we move forward into willingness and obedience. So you can't even obey until you get that will of yours out of the way. So as we get into this next section on willingness, your will is a factor of your mind and not your feelings or emotions. Do you understand that? Your will and your emotions are two different things. You can feel one way, but you're going to do something else. How many of us love and hug on our children when we know we just want to smack them right down? But you know what? You better be glad mama love you, okay? Because mama going to love you. Mama going to come and pick you up right now, okay? Because love will cause her. Your will will kick in. And your will will do, even though you could be fuming as all get out, but your will overcomes that emotion and you do what you need to do out of love. Your will has the power to supersede your emotions. God gave us that. That's why Jesus kept saying, to he that overcomes, to he that overcomes. Because he knew that you can overcome if you get your emotions, if you subdue those emotions, you can overcome. You know, people say, I just can't do it. I just can't. No, you won't do it. You can do it. You won't do it. And you want everybody to feel sorry for you because I can't do it. Yes, you can. You're just not ready to do it yet. And even that's okay. Jesus will wait. We'll wait until you're ready. He'll wait till you're ready. How many times he knocks? He knocks. Behold, I knock at the door. And the funny thing about that scripture is that he was talking to the church. I was like, you know, I was reading the whole section, and I'm like, he was talking to the church. I thought he was talking to the sinners. He's talking to the church. Behold, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If anybody opens up, I will come in and I will sup with him. I will have dinner. We can have dinner. We can talk. He was talking to believers. Some of us got the door shut because we won't do it. It's not a matter we can't. We won't. Because he said, if you overcome, to him that overcomes. So we have to really get our emotions in check. This is maturity, folks. This is spiritual maturity we're talking about here. You know, because it's sad to see immature Christians. It's so sad to see that. Yes. People that just emotional, everything. All their decisions are made by emotion instead by the Holy Spirit. I said, what is the Holy Spirit saying? Why are you off your assignment? Why are you AWOL, absent without leave? You know, did Jesus tell you to go over there? He didn't tell you. Your emotions told you. So again, folks, we got to get this right. We got to get this straight. If you want victory in your life, if you want to go to the new level, then we've got to get this. That we do what he has called us to do. That we work in his way and do what he has called us to do. So we have to discern between our will and our emotions. So we're here to do what the Father would want us to do. So to walk in obedience, you have to concede to the will of God. As we have this critical understanding, we move forward into willingness and obedience. Okay, so you have the power to supersede your emotions. I'm just finding my place. Men and women go willingly into battle, feeling fear and anxiety. They take captive their feelings and act on their will. This is often described as courage. It is the will of man that determines his obedience, you know. And as I see this young lady with the army uniform on, you know, it just reminds me of how our military, they go into places that are dangerous, you know, to do things that they need to do, you know, to protect the nation. You know, I'm sure they don't go in there and they're feeling like, oh, I feel just wonderful walking in here. No, they're terrified. But they do it anyway because they take captive those emotions and their will drives them on. So you can do it. It's just a matter of taking those thoughts. As Jesus said, the Bible says, take captive every thought and you make it obedient to Christ. So we take captive our thoughts or our emotions and we make it obedient to Christ and we walk in courage. I believe God will deal with your feelings in his time, but first he will ask that you act in faith. That's right. And I have found that to be true. He won't take away your anxiety and your fear sometimes. He says, I know what you're feeling right now, but will you trust me and do it? That's faith. Mm-hmm. You don't see it. I don't know how this is going to work out, Lord. But I'm going to be obedient to your word and what I hear you telling me on spirit, and I'm going to do this. I need this money, Lord, but if you're telling me to give it to this situation or this person, I'm going to do it. I don't see my way. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to be obedient. I feel a lot of anxiety about this, but I'm going to be obedient. That's faith. So God works in cultivating our faith, and that's why those feelings sometimes stay there, I believe. I just believe that. Just my experience with God, he's like, do it afraid. I think Joyce Meyer did a whole series on that, which was so powerful, called Do It Afraid, because that's faith when you do it afraid. You trust him in the darkness. The scripture says in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. That's, oh man, that's 1 Peter 5:7 out of the Amplified. Do you believe that? Amen. He watches over you. Cast your cares on him. Cast your anxieties on him. Cast your worries and your concerns on him, because he's caring for you. The reason why, you know, someone was just telling me this. We were just in our Sunday school prayer, and one of the brothers was saying, The reason why God doesn't move in the lives of his children is because they won't let him. They won't let him. They're carrying everything themselves. They got all their problems. Okay, let me take it over here. Let me see if I can fix it over here. Oh, let me see if I can fix it. Instead of just casting it, give it to him and let him do it. Stop trying to take care of everything and stop trying to fix everything. Get into prayer. Lord, what should I be doing right now? What should I be doing today? Because it's overwhelming. I can't do it all. He will come in, but you got to let him come in. You've got to be willing and you got to be obedient when he says, be quiet. Don't get into this argument again. And I'm like, Lord, but I've got the best speech. You just don't know how good this speech is. And he says, don't say it. Let it go. I got it. I got it now. Just love them. Just love them. And I will take care of the rest. Bring them to me. Carry them to me in prayer. And you just love them. And stop with all the speeches. You know, that's what God tells me. I don't know. Maybe he's telling you all something else. But that's what he tells me. You know, to let him minister. The next point in your lesson says, while your feelings will seek to influence and even change your will, they are not in control of your will. You get that? Your feelings will seek to influence and change your will, but it's not in control of your will. Feelings are where Satan and his demons operate in most human affairs. And you've got to understand, that's where Satan operates, in your feelings and in the feelings of others. People act on their feelings. But you have not so learned Christ. We don't act on our feelings. We act on the Holy Spirit. Not that we don't have feelings. It's just that we overcome them in Jesus Christ. And we're obedient to him. Satan's lies can create feelings which influence your will, which can change your behavior or your obedience to God. You need to get those connections. Satan can create feelings. He can start whispering in your ear about somebody. It's true. I mean, I'm just getting up, just got out of my prayer time in the morning, getting ready to go to work, and here come the devil. You know, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. You know, and before I know it, I'm angry. Leaving the house, I'm angry. Nothing has happened. These are all just lies that feelings he's created with lies because of past history. Oh, I know they're going to come in today and they're going to do the Lord. It's Monday, so I know. Oh, cast it down. Because that's how he gets control. And he'll let me go into work with an attitude and have me start the fight. Have me operate in the spirit of strife. In that way, Satan is in control of me. So you got to be careful when you hear those whispers in your ear, those thoughts that pop up in your head that are negative, that are full of strife and division. Be careful. Cast that stuff away from you. Because that's the enemy. He knows who you're going to, he knows you're about to go to work. So you have to be careful and you have to get those connections so that Satan is not in control. It's important to see these connections in fighting the enemy. When you act or obey based on these feelings created by Satan's lies, you have allowed the enemy to take control of you. You have allowed the enemy to take control. And even if you have had a confrontation with somebody, Satan will add to it and inflate it and inflame it. And by the time you see that person, boy, you're seething. And they can't say anything to you. You know? And even if you don't say anything, your attitude. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're not saying anything, but all the body language. We know what we're talking about. The body. Mm-hmm. 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 Whatever.
That's so true.
It's so true. He's in and Satan is in control. And stuff hasn't even happened. But he lies, he lies, he lies. That's why Jesus called him the father of lies. That's how he controls you humans. Is by lying to you. And you act on the lie. He can't make you do anything. All he can do is influence you to do it yourself. He's trying to change your behavior with a lie. He's trying to get you to disobey God with a lie. So you have to get those connections and cast them down. And I know they're powerful. They can be so powerful sometimes and seem so true and seem like you really need to do something. But hear the Holy Spirit. If you have to run to the bathroom and pray, do that before you speak. Get the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you know how I'm feeling. You know what I'm thinking. But I'm coming and acknowledging you right now. Help me to walk in your will and walk in your way. This is an act of your will. My emotions are here, Lord. But my heart and my spirit is here. And I want to hear you so we can overcome today and in this moment. The apostle said, we're not ignorant of his devices. In 1 Corinthians 2, it says, another translation says, so that Satan will not outsmart us. I love that. That's a New Living Translation. For we are familiar with his evil schemes. And right before the apostle wrote this, he was talking about forgiveness. I thought that was kind of interesting. He was talking about, the verse before talks about forgiveness. And then he goes right into this verse. But we are not ignorant of his devices, or we're not, he will not outsmart us. We are familiar with his evil schemes, because unforgiveness is a biggie that he uses to keep us divided, keep us all fighting, and we can't have any unity of the spirit and the bond of peace, even in the church. Unity of the spirit, bond of peace. It's a scheme of the enemy to keep us divided, because that's how he does it. He divides and conquers. Everybody knows that. If you want to take down a nation, you want to take down a group of people, you want to take down a family, divide and conquer. And you can take them down. And that's what he tries to do to the body of Christ. So we want to maintain, as the scripture says, endeavor, meaning it takes effort to maintain the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. So we love and we forgive and we go forward because our focus is on Christ. Our goal is on Christ. It's not on all our little arguments that we need to win. Let it go. Next point says, Joshua immediately bowed and brought his will into submission to the captain of the host of the Lord, not because he was for the Israelite army, but because he was there to carry out the will of God. So as we review our key verse, it says, now Joshua was by Jericho. He looked up and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? He said, no, rather I have come as captain of the army of the Lord. Then Joshua fell with his face toward the earth and bowed down and said to him, what does my Lord have to say to his servant? The captain of the Lord's army said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet because the place where you are standing is holy, set apart to the Lord. And Joshua did so. And that's Joshua 5, 13 and 15. There's so much in those verses. You know, the first thing I note is that they were standing by Jericho. That means that big old city was right in their face. That big old city with that big old army was right in their face, right in his face. And here he is, the leader. And here this angel appears to him to tell him, you know, and Joshua's asked, are you for us? You know, are you for us? Please don't, you know, and he says, no. As I said, I am a captain of the army of the Lord. I am to carry out the will of God. And Joshua immediately. See, Joshua didn't have a conversation with him, but you should be for us because, you know, we are the children of Abraham. So why aren't you for us? You should be. He didn't have that conversation. He just immediately bowed. And we got to learn that with God. When God has done it, okay, all right, Lord, what do you say? What do you say? I wanted it to go this way. I wanted it to go this way. It didn't go this way. You need to bow right there. Okay, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done, Lord. I didn't think it was going to happen that way, but your will be done. He immediately bowed. And with that humility and with that bowing before God, The captain of the host of the Lord, army of the Lord, said, remove your sandals from your feet because the place which you are standing is holy, set apart to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I would love for that to happen in my life. Can you imagine? You know, when you bow, when you humble yourself before God, he makes you holy. Yeah. There's a power in that because he's saying, okay, you're bowing. So take off your sandals because now you're holy ground. Your life. Can you? I want my life to be holy ground. I want my home to be holy ground.
Amen.
You know, so I'm going to bow before the Lord so that he makes it holy. He says, I'm going to make you holy. Because you did not come and argue with me about your will and your way. You are bowing for the Lord. So now I'm going to cast my holiness on your ground. You know, so where Joshua was going, where he was walking, the path he was on, the way is now blessed by God. That's what that's saying there. That you're on holy ground now. I'm making you holy. Take off your sandals and absorb it. You know, touch it. Touch the holiness of God, basically. Take your shoes off and bask in the holiness of God. And now you're ready to go into battle. Because now you have the holiness of God on your life. The next point says, I'm sure the Israelite leader Joshua's will was bent toward getting the victory for his army. But when the captain of the host of the Lord enters the scene, his will bends toward him. Can we do the same? When we're angry, when we're frustrated or anxious or grieving, can we do the same? Can you be disciplined? Hallelujah. As you do this, you will be blessed as the Israelites were. God blesses those that submit and obey Amen. Him. He is not a respecter of your nationality, of your status in society, of your good works, of your human power, whatever power you think you have as a human being. But he blesses those that submit to him and serve him, period. He doesn't care where you came from and who you are. That's over and over in the scriptures. There were people that joined the Israelites along the way that were not Israelites. But God, when he talked about circumcision, he said, even the folks that joined you, we want everybody circumcised. Because everybody comes into the fold. Because God is not looking at what you have, who you are, where you came from, who your family is, what your nationality is. You know, God could care less about us being Americans. You know, I know this Americans, we have this arrogance about ourselves, that we all that, and you know, we're no nation under God. Honey, God will save everybody. I hear there's a revival going on in China. I'm telling you, people, come into Jesus Christ. Because God will save whoever submits and serves him. God calls them his own.
Yes.
So we have to understand this. He blesses those that serve him. And if you're resting on your laurels as an American or as a Christian, be careful, folks. He blesses those that serve him, that bow to him. The next point says, note that the word disciple comes from the word discipline. Discipline can be defined as doing what you should do when you should do it to the best of your ability. That's discipline. This must be the attitude of your will as you serve the captain of the host of the Lord. You have to do it full-hearted. When you should do it to the best of your ability. The next point says we must know that God's will is always victory for us.
Yes.
Note that this was no small matter. Joshua had the lives of hundreds of thousands of people in his hands. Can you imagine what he was feeling? He got all these hundreds of thousands of people waiting for him to take them into the promised land after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. You know, I get Joshua. Joshua's like, you know what? If God doesn't help us, this is not going to happen. So I can get him like, you know what? Are you for us? Are you for them? Oh, you're for God? Okay, we're bowing because we're coming on God. We're coming on God's side. Because I can't do this. And maybe even now you're overwhelmed. You don't know how you're going to do what you're going to do. All the things that are hitting you and coming. I'm telling you, bow. Bow before the Lord. Get on his side. Let your home become holy ground. Amen. Let yourself become holy ground. And watch the victory come in your life. What he decided would affect all of them. Joshua knew that. Joshua believed the word of God about his success if he obeyed God. His proclamation after winning many battles was, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's Joshua 24:25. After he had won many battles, man, he made that proclamation. "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord." Joshua had found the Lord to be faithful, and you will too. You will too. So that's the willingness part. And I find the will is the harder part, okay? To turn our will is like turning a Mack truck without power steering, you know? To turn our will, because we got all kind of reasons to stay the way we are. So once we get that will in place, then the obedience is really not that hard. You know, we may come out to the altar 10, 20, 30 times, praying, trying to get, and God is trying to change that will. And that's why people come back over and over and over again with the same stuff over and over again, because the will hasn't changed. And they think, "God just blessed me in spite of my will." It doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. His word says, if you are willing and obedient, then you will eat the best of the land or the good of the land. So when we go into the obedience piece, the next section, once the will is in place, obedience will quickly follow. The actual physical act is easy. The greater struggle was in your will. Once that is directed to God, the victory sits just on the other side of your obedience. Just do it. Now it's just time to just do it. As Nike says, just do it. There are still some struggles that remain as you walk in obedience. Now, the enemy's not going to just let you walk in obedience. And just, he's going to continue shooting those darts at you. Just like, you know, see if I can, you know, shoot some darts. But what do you have? You have the shield of faith. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, that stung. Okay. You know, I'm going to keep going forward because I have the shield of faith. These are usually the continual darts thrown by the spirits of fear, anxiety, frustration, anger, and doubt. They're going to come, folks, but know that these are just darts thrown by the enemy. But know that they will flee quickly as you get closer and closer to your victory in Christ. They will fall off like heavy weights, lifting you when you see the top of the mountain. And victory will embrace you on the other side of your obedience. I promise, keep moving. Keep climbing that mountain. I know your fingers are bloody, and I know you're trying to make it, but keep going. You know, I find that even though the enemy is shooting the darts, that's been my experience, he can't back me up. He can't push me back. Because I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm making progress. It's hard and it's difficult, but I am making progress. I do see changes in my family members. I do see the changes, Lord. So I'm going to keep praying. I know that happened yesterday and that happened, but Lord, I have seen change. So I'm going to keep praying because we're going to make it to victory with this situation. We're going to make it to victory. And you got to keep your eyes on Jesus during the way. The songwriter wrote, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." That's why when you're going through the hard time, keep praying, folks. Keep your heart and your mind on Christ and not just focusing on the situation. Keep your mind and your heart on Jesus Christ. The next point in the lesson says, note the unusual instructions given to the Israelite army to defeat Jericho. They were to march around the city walls in total silence for 6 days. No personal conversations or complaining, just obedience. Oh boy. Now let's unpack that one for a minute. They were supposed to march around in silence. It's hard enough. We're scared to death. We just came out of the wilderness. We don't have anything. And we can't complain? No, you can't. I tell you, you know, death and life, power of the tongue. You know, they were told to stay silent. Just be silent. I know you got all kind of feelings going on, but watch what you say. Do not curse yourself. My sister was telling me the other day, she said, be careful. Do not cancel your order with God by what you're saying, what you're speaking over people that you're praying for. You're praying for them, but what are you saying about them? Be careful, because the accuser of the brethren, he's right there in God's face like, why should you answer that prayer? Because she said that he was no good. So why are you answering her prayer concerning him? Folks, be careful. Be careful. If you have said something, just repent of it. Repent. It's just that easy. Just repent. Lord, I forgive me if I have said anything about that person that I'm praying for. And sometimes we do talk about, especially our family. You know, we know we can go off on our family. And we can talk about our family. You know, he ain't good for nothing. He ain't never amount to anything. Oh, be careful. And then you want to turn around, you want to be in your face in prayer. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. The children of Israel were told to walk around, no complaining, no griping, no conversation. The fact, you know, it was a time to be sober. There is a season, sometimes when you're going through, God will call you to be sober. Meaning that you're not laughing and joking so much. There's nothing wrong with laughing and joking, but you're just trying to keep your mind elevated. So I'm trying to stay sober before God. I don't want to slip and say something that offends the Holy Spirit. So I'm being careful with myself. I've had seasons like that where I just, Lord, I'm just going through so much. I've got to be careful with myself right now, because I know a complaint can easily slip out of my mouth because of what I'm feeling right now. I'm hurting right now. I'm frustrated right now. I'm angry right now, so I've got to stay sober before God, because it'll slip out of my mouth so fast. So again, the children of Israel, they're walking around the city of Jericho, and they were to walk around in total silence. This is obedience here, folks. Just being obedient, just walking, being sober in the fight. Then on the seventh day, they would march around seven times and then shout and blow their trumpets, and the walls of Jericho came down. See it in Joshua 6. It happened. Those walls came down. The victories of God are won by obedience to God. To know Christ as the captain of the host of the Lord means to know obedience to God. To say, no matter what the circumstances are, thy will be done. Hallelujah. You know, it's in the great prayer. Jesus taught us that prayer. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. And then Jesus said it again when he was praying. Just before he was going to be taken and arrested and go through all that torture. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. All the stuff that he was about to face, that is an example for us.
Yes.
All the stuff that we're in, all the stuff that we're facing, we still have to say these words, thy will Amen. Be done, Lord. I know you see me. I know you carefully watch over me. So if this has happened in my life, I know you have a good reason and you have a good purpose. And I say, thy will be done. If that's lost, thy will be done, Lord. And that's the attitude that we have to have. Regardless of your thoughts and reasonings, you trust and you obey. You are silent when he commands, because the noisy soldier gives away his position to the enemy. You know, if you ever had any military training, I mean, you need to be quiet when you're out there on the field.
Yes.
You know, because if you're blah, 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 you know what I'm talking. You give away your position. The enemy knows exactly where you are because you're just talking. Satan cannot read your mind. He just knows what you're about by what you're saying. And he's like, okay, so I'll push that button. Because, oh, that's the one that's messing with her. Okay, I'm going to make sure that person who may be an unbeliever, so they have no power over Satan to mess with you, because you're talking and you're complaining. So you have to be careful. The noisy soldier gives away his position. You shout when he commands. Soldiers in unity with the rest of the army will win the victory. When you're in unity with the rest of the army, you're going to win. When you're off doing your own thing, I'm not going to listen to the commander, because I think if I sit here, if I point my gun this way, I'll be doing better than if I'm where the commander told me to be. So this area is not even covered because you're over there. Again, if we're going to win the victory, folks, I'm telling you, as a body of Christ, you know, we're all a part of the body of Christ. If we're going to win this for Jesus Christ, we have got to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Don't let the enemy divide us. Don't let the enemy scatter us. But let us stay in place where the captain has told us to be, so we can win the victory. And then finally, you blow your trumpet or your horn when he commands. And as we review this piece on the trumpet and the horn, it's like the word of God is so rich on all the different areas that you can find in a scripture. But when we talk about the trumpets and the horns, and we reviewed this previously, trumpets were at first horns perforated at the tips, used for various purposes. And you see those, you can look at Joshua 6:4 and Joshua 6:5 to just talk about the horns that they blew. At Jericho, horns signaled the power of God to bring the walls of the city down. The scriptures, Christ is the horn of salvation. The scriptures describe him that way. That brings the walls of your troubles down, the walls of your troubles down for your deliverance. He is the horn of salvation. When you blow that horn, it is a signal that the walls have to come down. They cannot stand anymore. The flasks or vessels were made of horns. Your oil was held. The oil, they used to hold oil in horns, or anointing oil is carried in a horn. The horn moves you on into your destiny, even after tragedy. When the enemy hears you blow your horn, he will flee. Those horns mean something. The horn. There's horns on the Ark of the Covenant has horns. There's something about those horns. They blow victory. In 1 Samuel 16:1 and 13, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve for Saul when I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have chosen a king for myself among his sons." Wow. I mean, you see this picture. I mean, the prophet is just sitting at home just crying because Saul has sinned, and he was the first king of Israel, and he's sinned and he's messed up, and let me just sit here and cry. And God came and God said, "Get up and fill your horn with oil. I have chosen another king for myself." See, God moves you on from your tragedy and from your losses. God will move you on. He'll say, "Fill your horn and get up." Hallelujah. This, you know, I just remembered, you know, when we pray in the morning, you know, me, Reed, and Rose, we're praying in the sanctuary in the morning. And the section in the back of the church, I like to go up there, because I told you before, that's where I sat for a year and a half. I was so full of shame. I was so full of, you know, I had been through such a hard, horrible time. I was embarrassed. I had lost things. And I just sat up there. I just sat up there because I didn't feel like worthy to do anything in the house of God. Because I was a Christian and I had faced all this stuff. And one day God said, I remember this was the scripture that the preacher preached that day. He told Samuel, "Get up." And God, I felt like God was saying, "Get up, Karen. Are you done yet? Get up and go fill your horn with oil. I got work for you to do. Fill your horn. Anoint yourself." Samuel went to go anoint the next king. Anoint yourself. Get you some oil and start anointing yourself. Lord, what is next? Because a horn spells victory. The horn is about victory. Going on into victory. So fill your horns. Anoint yourself. Because we're going on to victory. Those losses, give them to Jesus. He'll take care of them. And you need to move on. And if anybody says anything to you, you tell him. You tell them. The captain of the host of the Lord. Hallelujah. Has told you to come. And say what you need to say and do what you need to say. So, folks, I'm telling you. Those of you that are feeling sorry for yourself. Those of you that are saddened. Those of you that feel guilty because you did it. Yes, you did it. Get up. Get up. Get yourself before God. If you need to repent, repent, fill your horn, and let's go on with God. We need to do things for the Lord. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. You got work to do. You got work to do. Your horn is the battle cry of obedience to God, regardless of the circumstances. Take up your horn and blow it in obedience to the captain of the host of the Lord. Blow it with your heart still aching. Blow it with the situation unchanged. Blow it in faith and blow it in obedience. But blow your horn, folks. Get up and blow your horn. One final note on obedience and we're done. Obedience often involves suffering and rejection.
Yes.
People will reject you for your obedience to God. Okay, you got to get ready for that. Okay, people will get upset because you are obeying God and not them.
Mm-hmm.
You're not obeying their cause. Sometimes people have causes and those causes don't necessarily line up with the word of God. And they want you to follow their cause and follow their thing and follow their, and you're called to something else. So get ready. You will be rejected sometimes because you're obedient to God, that you are listening to him as he's turning a page in your life. This was the way it was for our Lord, our captain. He went all the way to the cross. He endured the suffering, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. It's from Hebrews 12:2. Because it was all about the Father's will. And, as I said, the Father's will is born our love. I was just thinking about Jesus and how Jesus told his disciples what was going to happen when he went down to Jerusalem.
Yes.
He told them the Son of Man is going to be betrayed and the Son of Man is going to be arrested and the Son of Man will be put to death. And Peter got up and said, no, then we won't go to Jerusalem. We won't go. And Jesus had to rebuke him. This is Peter. This is his homeboy. This is the one he's hanging out with. But he had to rebuke him because Jesus knew what the Father said to do. I got to go down to Jerusalem because it's the Father's will that I go down to Jerusalem and all this stuff will happen to me.
Glory to God.
So we got to know that the will of the Father is always born out of love and it's always born out of good for us and good for others. Sometimes you are going through for somebody else. Jesus went through for us.
Yes.
He went through for me. See, the Father's will is not selfish.
Sure.
Some people think, oh, God is just sitting up there and he's just watching us and he's making us do this stuff and he's being strict on us and he won't let us have fun. No. His will is all about love. His will is not selfish. His will is not about him looking all powerful. His will is about his love for us. Because Jesus followed the will of the Father, we're set free today. So now and forever, he's with us. No matter the scope of the conflict or the degree of suffering, our captain is present. And he has been there. And he has been here before. This is from your book. One day you will lay down your sword and rest also from the battle. And you may meet him. And may you meet him. I'm sorry. And may you meet him being obedient.
Oh, glory to God.
I'm telling you, I don't want to be having an explanation with Jesus why I still sat in the back of the church and didn't do anything. I don't want to, you know what happened to me, and you know everybody was talking about me, and you know it was in the paper, Jesus, that everybody knew what happened to me, and that's, I got to meet him with my work done. I want to meet him like the apostle said, I fought a good fight.
Yes.
I finished my course, and I kept the faith.
Sure.
That's where we want to be. We want to meet him having been obedient. And I just want to say that quote again concerning Abraham Lincoln. He said, I'm not so concerned as to whether or not God is on my side as I am concerned to know if I'm on his. That is powerful. And this was right before they were going to go into the battle. I think this was right before the battle at Gettysburg or something. They were in the middle of the Civil War. And somebody asked Abraham Lincoln, do you think God is with us? And this is what he said back. I'm not so concerned as to whether God is on my side. I'm concerned to know if I'm on his. So that's the question you need to ask. Are you on God's side? And that's where we're going to get, that's where you're going to get the victory. Any comments or questions?
I can see a lot of stuff, but it's fun. In the morning, when I get up in the morning, I spend my time with the Lord and come into his presence. I like what you said about the Holy Spirit, because I always rely on that in the morning. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I get in prayer, there's two types of prayer. There's a prayer of getting in the flesh, and there's a prayer of getting in the spirit.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes I'll pray and I recognize I'm in the flesh.
Wow.
And I stop.
Wow.
Oh, God, forgive me.
Wow.
Because I'm praying too fast.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing words out there. Then I stop.
Wow.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Then I get in the spirit.
Yeah.
So let me be honest with you. I'm feeling this way right now.
Yeah.
I don't like this, but I know it's the enemy trying to come in. He wants me to get in the flesh.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm going to turn around and get in the spirit.
Yes.
In your spirit.
Yes.
And then when I get in the spirit, I feel his presence.
Yes.
And then when I finish praying, not my will be done, but your will.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. That is so, so powerful, because I think we all have experienced that. We just start talking. Oh, Lord, and bless me and do this for me, Lord God. I got a meeting and I tell you, Lord, help me to do this. And we need to accomplish this.
And then I catch
myself.
And
you realize, you catch yourself. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, what are the orders for the day? Hallelujah.
And that is so true, you know. And, oh, my gosh. And what we should do is praise him first.
Mm-hmm.
He said praise him when you pray. Continue to praise him. And then, you know, of course, God said ask what you need. But anyways, talking about obedience and you know, everybody going to storms already. You know, we've been to storms, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We just need to trust the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the storm is only temporary. Don't dwell on it. Just give it to God. And that's what we do. When me and my husband came down here 2 years ago, as I said before, that we didn't have a job. You know, it was tough for us. But you know what? I went on that window and prayed like Daniel. I did, and I prayed Psalm 119 every day, and God answered my prayer, and I got a job right away.
Wow.
And that's why you need to be obedient, to be willing to accept, you know, thing goes wrong in this world because of the sin of the world.
Yeah.
But it goes around with us when the sin of the world, and then it affects us. And don't let affect you, because God is always there for us.
Yes.
You know, and trust in him every day. Every day.
Yes.
So I always say.
Yes. Amen.
And I am blessed.
Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, that's a good word. Don't let the sin around us affect us.
Nope.
You know, we can overcome. I know you feel the emotions when you watch the news. I mean, who wouldn't feel the emotion when you see all the tragedy going on in the world? But I'm telling you, go above it. Start going to prayer. Sometimes I've learned when I hear it, I go into prayer.
There you go.
Lord, I pray. I pray over those folks that lost the families of the people that lost their lives at that Las Vegas shooting. Lord, I just pray right now that you would bring peace into the situation. I pray that they will turn to you, Lord God. I mean, just start praying. You know, that'll make the devil mad. I'm like, oh, man, every time I do something, those Christians start praying. You want to really kick him in the gut? Start praying when you see that stuff on the news. Lord, I'm going to pray right now. Lord, I'm praying. I pray for Iraq. Lord, I pray for, Lord, all that stuff. But Lord, I rebuke bombings in the name of Jesus. Start praying for the Holy Spirit to come and sweep over this earth. You know, the thing about the news is that the news is telling you where to target some prayers. You know, so you can watch it and start targeting prayers. You know, I mean, just start praying and watch God move in a powerful way. You know, anybody else with comments? Anybody else?
Speaking my preacher.
Yes. With all of these people falling, you know, in the sexual harassment charges all mm-hmm. over the place in mm-hmm. Hollywood and the political arena, mm-hmm. Me and my husband are saying, what's going on? And I said, somebody's praying. And I know my
Amen.
That these people would be exposed and they would melt like snails on salt. That's my prayer.
Yes, exactly. As I said, we got to stop talking and start praying. I'm telling you, the strongholds, we got some strongholds that have set themselves up in this nation, and we can pray those things down. Just like the walls of Jericho, we can pull those strongholds down. You know, so let's pray about those strongholds as opposed to just talking. Anybody else? Anybody else? Everybody? Good. Okay. Great. Well, we'll go ahead and dismiss in prayer. Lord, we just thank you. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are our captain.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, that you are the captain of the host of the Lord, that you are captain of the Lord's armies, Lord God. And Father, our prayer is not that you be on our side. Our prayer is that we be on your side, Lord God.
Amen.
So, Father, if there's anything that keeps us on another side, even our own side, oh, God, I pray you would reveal it to us. Oh, God, I pray that we would decrease and you would increase, Lord God. Father, we want to be on the side of the Lord's army, Lord God, as we go forward, as we go into 2018. Father, we go forward in victory, Lord God. Oh, Father, we go forward to possess the land, Lord God. Possess the land in our households and in our families, Lord God. Oh, Father, the enemy has come in like a flood, but Lord, we pray that the Spirit of the Lord lift up a standard in our homes. Oh, Lord, in our nation, Lord God,
Lord.
In the world, Lord God,
Lord.
I pray that we would remember to pray. Oh, Lord, that we wouldn't just look at it and shake our heads and walk away. Oh, Lord, but we would fall on our face, Lord, and call it up before the Father and ask for your Holy Spirit to intervene and to move,
Lord.
And to bless, oh, Lord, and to bring goodness out of wickedness. Oh, God, you can do that, Lord God. What Satan means for evil, you can turn it into good, Lord. So we pray that you would do it. In the name of Jesus, I pray that as your people, we would be on our posts.
Yes,
oh, God, that we would not be scattered and we would not be wandering the earth, Lord, not knowing what we're supposed to be doing, but we would be on our posts, that we would be willing and obedient. Oh, God, so we can eat the good of the land. Oh, God, that we would not let our emotions lead us. Oh, God, that we would overcome by your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Father, I pray that as a people, we would endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That means we forgive each other. That means we love each other.
Yes.
Oh, God, Lord, that means that we just keep on loving,
yes.
Lord, regardless of what may happen or what is said, Lord God, that we continue to love and hold to each other and lift each other up. Oh, Lord, we thank you for these things, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit that makes it possible. And we thank you for the blood of Jesus that has made it possible. And we ask you for this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.